Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Joining me today, two of the greats of Christian counseling, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, and a bunch of greats of Christian call-in shows. You, your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We think it's a great day for New Life. Come join us.
I've struggled with depression my whole life.
I'm hanging in there.
That does not sound good.
I have a problem. I came across some pornography a couple of weeks ago on television, and I watched it.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
It affects them in different ways, but still, it's a bad thing for their hearts and their souls and their mind.
Anyone saying that that family of origin, horrendous sin, is irrelevant to be dealt with is an idiot.
The act of sharing it will take the punch out of it. Keeping it a secret makes it more magical. It goes into the realm of fantasy, and that does set you up. Marriages need to be protected.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and as I mentioned, joining me today on National Chicken Little Day, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. John Townsend. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Well, it is National Chicken Little Day because a lot of people have been going around saying that the sky is falling, and yesterday it kind of fell on a lot of people in the mm-hmm. stock market, and so this is the day that those Chicken Littles get to celebrate. Or you could call it National I Told You So Day, something like that.
Well, last I looked, it's kind of rebounding a bit, so maybe the sky is going back up instead of falling.
Well, but you can never lose as a Chicken Little.
No.
Because,
eventually.
Because, eventually something goes down, then you can say, I told you so. So your whole life can be, I'm happy when there's doom and gloom. So, you know.
Yep. I knew she was going to die. Of course, she was 99.
She was 97 years old.
Yeah. But I knew it. Well, it's like my hypochondriac aunt, you know, who was telling everybody she's sick and going to die. And then on her tombstone, she put, see? I mean, you know, eventually she was going to be right sometime. But I'll tell you, it's a great time for people to assess, do I have more faith in God or in money?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
You know, it's funny. You're starting to see this, like, even in our media. I was watching TV with my wife last night, and we don't get to watch a lot because of the schedule. But
yeah, I always say that too before I share viewing America's Top Model and other shows.
You watch that?
No, I don't. But I was just kidding. No, go ahead, John.
But we're looking at the new shows coming on for the fall, and one's called Two Broke Girls. About two girls that work as waitresses and this sort of thing. And there's sort of this kind of like, well, whatever broke is, if people are having to say, okay, maybe there's some financial realities and how can we have a good life and a happy life within that? Mm-hmm. So
hopefully, or maybe it's just a downer, the whole program,
but
who knows?
But you know, John, what you're saying here, the cool thing about the faith is that the bad news is always eventually good news.
Right.
Well, if you choose it to be.
That's right. What James says, you know, count it all joy when you're tempted or tested, you know, because out of that's going to come something good. Mm-hmm. That's counter to the world's way of thinking, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, if I, you know, when I went through my divorce, I mean, I thought it was the end of everything. Mm-hmm. And if you had told me, okay, now 10 years from now, you're going to be sitting there and you're going to have 5 children. Mm. Who are obviously more beautiful and brilliant than any of the other children that are around. And, I mean, I would have said no way. And to have a wife who, I mean, nobody can come close to Misty. She's an amazing person, and I hope she's listening right now because I'll be home later. But anyway, it is good news. God will bless you no matter what, if you'll trust Him and hang in there with Him.
But the thing you've got to do, Steve, we've got to say, in the way you bless me, it's your call, God.
You do not it the way you see.
Not in a way that I'm
right.
We
expecting.
Often equate the blessing with finances, and He there's blesses in all kinds
lots
of ways.
Lots of others.
Or some people, the blessing is a child. And if there's no child, then mm-hmm. God is not blessing. So we can't hold up to God, like you say, that litmus test of blessing. Let God bless you the way God wants you to.
Keep your eyes open.
Yeah. 1-800-229-3000. We'll take a break. We'll come back and go right to the phone calls. 1-800-229-3000.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Dave Stoop. And right now we're going to talk with Jason Martinkus. He is the person that leads every man's battle. Jason, thanks for joining us again.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
The next EMB is this weekend, isn't it?
It is this weekend. Yep, we're going to be in Sacramento, California this weekend. And we have a great weekend on tap with a great staff and looking forward to a lot of life change there.
So on Monday, after this weekend, what are some people's lives going to be like?
For some people, it's going to be radically different. You know, we have guys come every month, and let's say there's 70 guys that are at that workshop. Some portion of them will dial into the weekend and try to get everything that God has for them, and they'll go home. And on Monday morning, life will be different. The way they interact with their wives will be different, the way they interact with their kids, with their work, with their ministry. Hmm. And it'll be the beginning of a complete life change.
And then for other people, Monday will be just like every other Monday, where they go to work and try to keep themselves off of a website, or they watch their husband or wife go off to work and they're back home wondering what's going to happen, where's the unfaithfulness going to be.
That's right. There's a huge difference for guys that show up. There's a huge difference between being ready to change and being willing to change.
Absolutely. You know? Well, Jason, somebody that's thinking, okay, maybe my husband needs to go to this, what do you say to that lady?
It could be the best thing that he's done for him and for you. Every month, we have guys come through who, like we said, they have radical life change. You know, the clients that I send as a counselor to the workshop, time and time again, they come back to my office and things are different. The way they interact with their wives are different. The humility level has gone up dramatically, and they're on the road to recovery.
All right, Jason. Well, thank you for being on with us. And as a way of showing our appreciation, let me send you my new book, Walking Into Walls. but Jason, thanks for what you do. It's a wonderful ministry. And I just hope and pray that some woman is listening and she's saying, I need to get him there, make the reservation and tell him to go. Or some man is saying, okay, sexual integrity, that's something I need. It's time. The Lord will be honored. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thanks, Jason. Take care of yourself.
You're welcome. Thank
All
you,
right.
Guys.
All right. I'll tell you, the Every Man's Battle Workshop is beyond belief, the change that comes out of that. And I just hope and pray that you would give it a try. And let's go.
You know, I love what you just said, Steve, beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
Because when God does something like that, when a person says, I can never change, it truly is beyond belief.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, like you go to Ephesians where it says he does more than we can ever dream. I mean, that's what happened on these weekends. Mm-hmm. It's beyond belief what can happen. Only God can show up.
Well, right. But it's also interesting what he said. There has to be a willingness.
Yeah.
And some guys come with a readiness and a willingness, and wow, it is beyond belief.
Some are willing, some are willy-nilly, and it's
and, you
the
know,
willing.
But what I've seen happen is those who come kind of willy-nilly, it gets to them at some point.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It's a delayed reaction kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Anybody say, well, he really needs to want to go. Well, No, let's don't sit around waiting him want to go. Let's get him there, and let's see if he'll want to recover when he's around, you know, 50 yeah. other guys that are going down that same path.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly. You're exposed to the process and hopefully get hooked.
Right. Let's go to Mary from Rapid City, South Dakota. Watches us on the NRB network. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been separated from my husband for about 2 years.
Hmm.
Still causing a lot of pain in my heart. Basically, I kind of left because he was blaming me and I was the problem, and I just couldn't be around that anymore. He wants a divorce. I don't. I'm willing. I want to go to counseling, and we did some counseling, but it wasn't real Christian counseling. And he says we did enough counseling, but he hasn't made any. I told him basically, if you want a divorce, you do all the work. I'm not interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a good supportive church, a good Christian church pastor. I'm in Bible study. Read the Word every day. So.
Well, what's the problem? Why does he want out of the
marriage? Yeah, you said he blames me. So what is he blaming you for, Mary?
That's a good question. What happened? What kind of blew things up? We were building a house, and things were just crazy. It just didn't like one minute he'd say, well, let's do it this way, and the next minute we'd be different. It was like nothing made sense. Everything was just bizarre. I don't know mm-hmm. how to explain it any more than that. My thoughts were, this has been building for a lot of years. We've been married 37 years, and I think we've been running from our problems for all those years. There wasn't an emotional connection, I don't think. He's a son of an alcoholic, and so we've got all that, and I went to one of your New Life weekends and was kind of on the verge of doing a lot of healing and grief, and because I grew up probably emotionally neglected.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like a rejection is a big deal for me. So I have to kind of grieve a lot of that. And I feel like I can do that for quite a while, and then I'm happy and I'm good. And I'm always kind of questioning, is it grief or is it pity?
Mm-hmm.
So that's always kind of one of my questions.
Okay. Well, what's the question for us in the midst of all this? And we're very sorry for what you're going through.
Yeah. What's my next step? What should I do? Do I just sit here and wait for him to make decisions and keep praying that we can be restored?
You know what I think, Mary? You could do that, and that would be a sad loss because there's so much that you've got in yourself to deal with and to move on with and to get your life together. What I often tell people in that situation is live as if you were already divorced. What are you going to do if he does file and everything, you know, goes through and you end up divorced? What are you going to do then? Are you going to, you know, and hopefully what you'll do then is that you will start, you will put your life back together. Why not, while you wait, put your life back together and put it together in a way that's healthy and whole, get the help you need to finish dealing with the deprivation that you grew up with, understand that, develop a network of friends, of lady friends that you do things with, and just begin to expand your life and explore what God has for you, and stay in touch with him. And I like what you said, you know, that if you want a divorce, the ball's in your court, you do all the work, I'm not. And he probably won't. He probably will kind of put it off. And who knows what will happen if you start to blossom kind of where you are and you know, expand your horizons. That may be all that it takes for him to come to terms with himself. It may not. You know, that's the risk. But, you know, it's not really a risk because then you're prepared for whatever comes.
Hmm. Yeah. Ryan, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, Mary, the only other thing I would add, I really like what Dave said, And this is sort of a Hail Mary, all right? So
literally.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But it's always a good sort of, I can sleep at night. I know I've done the second mile and third mile thing, is to go to him and say, I know you're done with counseling, and I know all that, and it's your choice. I want us to, I know you don't. But I would like one session where I just hear and I don't edit what you do not want about me. What is your complaint about me? Because I get kind of, honestly, Sam, I get kind of confused. And I don't want to clarify their thinking. I don't want to manipulate you back or anything. I want, for my own growth and my own understanding of our relationship, I want to hear you out for that hour. And this is not easy to do, Mary, because it takes tremendous humility to bite your tongue and not say, well, that's not true. You misunderstood. I was just trying to do this. You distorted it. And to not do any of that, just say, I'm taking notes. I'm listening and having the therapist or whatever do it. But there are times, and I've just seen it happen a lot, Mary, where the spouse will go, you finally heard it. You didn't like make me the bad guy, or you didn't make excuses. You got it. And that can build a bridge. That bridge, Mary, is a spider web strand. It's a little tiny bridge. But that has been often the bridge that says, well, maybe we can talk some more. So that's the Hail Mary pass, but I would recommend doing that as well.
I agree.
And I'm going to also send you my new book, Now What Do I Do? It has kind of a systematic way of looking at these problems.
Okay, two cavities or caveats, one or the other. But one would be that if it's a situation where he is benefiting financially from you staying separated and not divorced, and this goes on, then you wouldn't want to just roll over and let him take advantage
of you. Yeah, you got to take care of your assets.
You don't want her to roll over. We don't want her to roll over in any way.
Yeah, it's like Dave said, you're doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
And then secondly, yes, act like you're already not married, except in the area of intimacy with other men. You want to stay clear there. Just
do the things that are honoring to God
and
allow him to really build into your life the things that will just expand your horizons is, I think, one of the ways to think of it.
But, Mary, I just think that's just some very simple but brilliant, brilliant advice to go out and live your life rather than living at home alone in regret and feeling sorry for yourself and all that. Go live. And it is a spider web thin bridge, but it is some bridge. And so is that just that listening to him talk to you in a counseling session. So I hope that that's helpful to you.
And what you might also add to that, Mary, is after you have that session, go back and talk to the counselor and get some interpretation of some of the things that you didn't understand. It'd be worth your while to do that.
Okay, Mary. God bless you.
I tried the counseling thing, and not in the way you said it, but he thinks I'm trying to manipulate him to get back together.
Mm-hmm. No, make it
knee-jerk reaction.
Make it as John said. You know, I need this for my healing.
Yeah,
and this is for me, and that's why I want to just listen. I'm not gonna defend or explain. I just want to listen.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Think about how we'd feel. I mean, if somebody came to me and said, "I just want to hear how I've affected you," and I'm not going to edit. Gosh, that's like your day in court.
Yes.
What have you got to lose? So tell them that. This is not a manipulation. I just need to get the clarity of how you feel, and I need my own growth.
Yeah.
And we'll be praying for you, Mary.
I'm glad that you called, Mary, and we will send you Now What Do I Do? And the book we're featuring this month, Walking Into Walls, 5 Blind Spots That Prevent God's Work in You. That's coming your way.
It's a great cover, Steve. We're holding the book right now.
Thank you, John. It is my favorite cover, and of course,
favorite book.
Well, yeah, I've either authored or co-authored over 100 now.
Goodness.
And this is the best. This is, if you don't read this, if you don't like this material, don't waste your time ever again on anything.
But Steve, shouldn't every last book be the best? Because we learn things and we experience things and we talk to people and we're always growing. So.
Well, my next to the last book was kind of weak. But other than that, yes, I agree with you. It should be that way. It certainly should.
Now everybody's going to look at your order of books to see which one you're talking
about.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm really glad we got to talk to Mary about that. You know, just thinking about that, in those situations where a guy is just, you know, 2 years out there, separated, not moving, I bet 80% of the time there's some kind of pornography or sexual integrity issue there that just stands in the way of all of that getting back together. Maybe it's not 80%, maybe it's 70%, but it's a huge percent.
Well, I would agree, and probably it is built over the years as they've just grown further and further
right.
apart.
And it, you know what? It might not even have been there before the separation, but oh, it's just so common and prevalent. Mm-hmm. By the way, that Every Man's Battle, it's not too late to sign up for this weekend in Sacramento. In September, we're going to be in Cincinnati. You could sign up for that too. It changes everything. Absolutely changes everything. All right, you hear the music. We'll take a break. Our number, 1-800-229-3000. And I get to be in the studio here for 2 hours after this program for taping, and you can too by calling 1-800-229-3000.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. John Townsend. Your phone calls 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Now let's go over here and talk with J.R. from Louisville, Kentucky, WFIA. Hello, J.R.
Wow. Hey, guys. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Well, I've spent the last, 5 years listening to you guys on the radio, an hour a day, 5 days a week. And
wow.
I guess you guys can give me the best advice. Recently, I finished nursing school. I spent a couple years going through school, and pretty much, I'm 32 now, so the way I felt and looked at life was get yourself, you know, where you can take care of family before you start, you know, going down that road. So pretty much I was just going to church, going on mission trips. I'm a spirit-filled person, and I ended up meeting someone that I shouldn't have got involved with. There's a newborn baby. After studying bipolar and mental health, I started seeing characteristics in her.
Like what?
Always
what
happy,
did you see?
Like really, really extremely happy or passive, and then very, very aggressive. I know that's passive-aggressive, but... And then, like, it's hard to say. Like, for instance, yesterday, she brings me a Joel Osteen card, and I look at it, and I go, okay, now this from my grandmother would be great. It has a bookmark on it, but I know better. I've seen this time and time again. So the handwritten part at the bottom says, you're bipolar, you need help. And I thought, you know, who in the world would do something like that? This is the only person that I know besides my stepfather's daughter who is diagnosed bipolar. And she runs the streets in California. She used to be married to a millionaire, but she still runs the streets because she causes drama where there doesn't need to be drama. And this person does the exact same thing in every situation possible.
Okay, so what's the question for us?
Well, I mean, she's going to therapy. She's been going to therapy, and I went to the therapist. She's not a Christian counselor. She's, you know, in this old spooky house, and she told me she got beat by her father, who was a cop, and I'm just kind of like, okay, I can't. If we can go to a Christian counselor, then, I will go. But at the same time, guys, this person is... made me lose two jobs. In an economy like this, I'm lucky to have the job that I have.
Now, are you living with her? Are you living with her and the baby?
No, I'm not. And I've offered her to live with me, but I'm not going to think about doing that anymore because, you know, last night I worked 13 hours. I had 5 minutes break. I worked night shift. And, you know, it's the same thing over and over. I call her this morning, and I said, does the baby need anything? And she said, formula. Then she texts me back and says, never mind, I'll get it myself. I don't want you to come over. Stay away. Go get therapy. You need help. And, you know, that hurts me so bad that, you know, it's on and on. Every day or two, it's the same thing. So I'm wondering, does she have something mentally? You know, there's backgrounds of being adopted and having rape and, I never judged her. I never looked at her like that. And I always thought that through God, you know, anything's possible. You know, we used to go to church and stuff like this. But these behaviors just kept coming out over and over the last, like, 3 years.
Okay,
and
so if we tell you...
I don't know what to do.
What if we told you she was borderline personality bipolar schizophrenic? What does that mean for you and your baby?
That means that the advice my dad just gave me, which, you know, his parents, you know, ran with the Gaithers when they were 19 years old. So he's a good dude, my dad. I don't talk to him much. But he said, change your phone number. Don't talk to her for about a year. She's going to ruin your life and do it today. And make sure you give me your phone number.
Yeah, but what about the baby?
Well, here's the thing. Every time I get paid, I bring the baby a swing. I bring the baby, you know, diapers, formula, wipes. I'm a nurse. I can take care of that baby. She won't let me take care of the baby. The other day, she says, and I don't smoke, but she said that her unemployment check didn't come in. I need a cigarette. I said, well, you can come over and I'll buy you a cigarette. So I went next door. She came over. The baby in this heat advisory at 115 degrees. The face is blood red. The feet are blood red. This baby is screaming with a high-pitched cry that it just broke my heart, okay, guys? And, she goes to the bathroom. I give her a cigarette. I give her $20. And, she comes out, and I'm holding the baby. He's soaking wet from the neck down to the feet, has all this hot clothing on him. And, like I said, it's 115 degrees out. So I take the temperature of this baby, and she went ballistic. You know, the baby ended up having a fever. I assume it's overheating when it's throwing up vomit on me that's burning my leg. And she can look at me and tell me the baby has no fever. It's fine.
You need to call Child Protective Services right now. You're a nurse. When children are not taken care of, no matter what the condition of the mother. You see those things, call Child Protective Services now.
The 12-year-old kid that she has and the 7-year-old kids that she has?
Well, they can look into
that,
too.
I'm saying this is so far beyond your capacities.
You can't fix this.
Bring the authorities in right now.
Do I still walk away?
No, you don't.
I wouldn't walk away.
This is not the time to walk away.
You bring every source of health to those kids.
We'll be back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Dave Stoop. John, Dave, any thoughts here for JR?
Well, JR, number one, we're going to hold you on the line and help you with a report ASAP. And Dave and I were, and Steve were talking during the break that we just kind of disagree with your father.
Definitely. You can't abandon that baby. And I'm just wondering why you haven't made sure that you have visitation, that you get that child periodically, and just a lot of things that are just kind of hanging loose. And I think, you know, it's the opposite of what your dad is saying. You need to batten down some hatches and get some rights, but take care of what's going on with that baby
and
reporting it.
JR, you need to be supporting the baby beyond taking diapers over and stuff like that. Your girlfriend needs to be able to depend on some of your income. And it sounds like you don't have visitation rights, you're not providing regular support, and you got to step up here and take responsibility. Right now, that means, we're going to do the reporting with you, but it means, you know, doing the right stuff here. And it sounds like your dad is moving you towards separation from this baby, and we're saying, no,
That's abandonment.
Become part of the fatherless generation problem.
I don't want to do that. Okay. I never wanted to do that.
Okay, well, Good. Let's step up here. Now's the time, bud.
But, JR, let me add one more thing to the equation. My impression of our brief conversation is that you don't have a lot of healthy support around you. And when we tell people to step up, we never tell people to step up in a vacuum. You know, Jesus said, who are my mother, my brother, and my sisters, but those who obey the will of God? You're going to need a community to help you make hard decisions, persevering decisions, grown-up decisions. And so we want to make sure, we'll help you with this, to find people who will help you to be the man that you need to be right now, because you probably can't do it alone. So we'll make sure we help you there, too.
All right, JR, I want you to hold on, buddy. You know, he mentioned his dad traveled with the Gaithers.
Mm-hmm. Great, great singing group.
The Bill Gaither wouldn't, and Gloria, they wouldn't put up with this.
Oh,
I've gotten calls from Bill where he says, Steve, I've got an artist who's got this problem, and I want it dealt with, and I want to get treatment for that person, and I'm stepping up, and I'm going to help. So I know that this is no reflection on the Gaithers.
Let's turn this into a challenge for for fathers, Steve.
Yeah.
And say, if you've got a kid, now we're talking to Jason's father now. And JR's father. Yeah. If you've got a kid who's in trouble and you've got a young adult kid, and we all feel protective towards our kids, mm-hmm. but help your kids to walk through their tough times and make choices and accept consequences. Don't tell your kids to avoid things and get safe, because that doesn't create an adult. It creates a child. And you have to sometimes mute that protective response that we feel towards our adult kids.
Well, Robert Frost said, you know, and I think it's profound, the way out of this bind is through it.
Yeah.
You don't run away from it, because you run away from it, you just compound the issues. And so you got to work your way through it.
Of all the dads I know, I think you probably did the hardest thing I've ever seen, Dave.
You did.
Yeah, putting my kid in jail.
Yep.
That was a turning point for me and for him.
And I have so respected what you did, and then the fruit that came from that, and the ripple effect of redemptive sorts of healthy things that happened. And but so, I mean, Dave knows what he speaks of here. Mm-hmm.
And he knows Robert Frost. You know, William Shakespeare said,
I don't know him. I just remember I had a picture framed, framed on my wall with that saying. And I bet. It, yeah.
Shakespeare said, woe to he who not careth for child young. And I don't know.
I think that was Homer.
Sounds like Geronimo or something.
It did sound like Geronimo.
You know, Tonto.
I'm part Cherokee. So maybe that came out just, I don't know. I'm part Cherokee. And there it was.
Nice call, King Wasabi.
Yeah. So, wow. That's really sad. Okay.
We really care and we're concerned about JR and this baby.
Let me tell you, I think it's God's timing and will and all that JR got through to us, because we put him on a different track than he was headed.
And one thing we didn't respond to, just quickly before you go to the next call, you said it, but you didn't follow up on it. What difference does it make what her diagnosis is? That's not the issue. The issue is, here's a gal who's struggling and a baby who is in danger, and something has to be done. That's like rearranging the chairs on the deck chairs on the Titanic, you know, to try to figure out what her diagnosis is.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's go over here and talk with Kirk from North Platte, Nebraska. Hi, Kirk.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, doing. I'm currently separated from the wife. She has filed for divorce. We have a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old, and
okay.
We've also got two older kids. We've been married for 22 years. In the past, we've lived a lifestyle that we shouldn't have. Not to elaborate any more than that, but
did you mean financially or morally?
What's that?
Do you mean financially or do you mean morally?
Morally.
All right.
Now I'm to the point, I mean, I would like to reconcile. She claims that she's been trying to save the marriage for the last 3 or 4 years, and I guess I didn't know where we were at. I didn't realize we were trying to fix it. And now she's left and said she's done trying, and now I'm ready to try, and she's done and filed for divorce. And I guess I'm just kind of, it was a surprise to me. She says it shouldn't have been. And you know, like I said, after 20 years of doing the wrong things morally, and I mean, I was raised in a church, and we attended church, and then the last several years we've drifted away from that, and I'm back in church now. I'm going to Christian counselor. I'm speaking with a man at the church that deals with divorce and deals with you know, all kinds of situations, and trying to do the right thing. I'm wondering now what the best thing is for the kids. I mean, I would still like to reconcile, but I haven't seen the kids for 40 days. You know, I miss them terribly. I would like to talk to the wife, but it's not possible, and she keeps indicating she'd like to, but, I mean, not possibly, because she put a protection order out against me.
What kind of contact do you have with the kids, even though you're not seeing them?
We have two older children, and I don't have any contact other than, you know, the older daughter sees them. And
Kirk, it's sort of kind of a red flag to somebody to get a protective order against them.
Yeah.
What was that about?
By the way,
whenever a lot of times we do this a lot, there's a tendency for somebody to say, well, it was a misunderstanding. But try to be as really, really honest as possible. No judgment here.
Well,
but just we need some reality here.
After she left, I don't remember the day, but say somewhere around the 17th of June or something like that. We counseled for 2 weeks, and we just opened the Yellow Pages and picked out a counselor, and I wasn't impressed with the counselor, but we counseled for 2 weeks, and then there was, like I said, I guess something that happened on the 1st of July, 2nd of July, that I confronted her about, and that was the last time we spoke. And then she thought that I was following her, stalking her, and I was not. The older daughter lives right close to where the wife was staying, and I had met the daughter, and she drove by and saw my daughter and I sitting there, and that was when she filed this protection order. And I had confronted her one time at a event that she was at and talked to her, did not get out of the car, do anything terribly bad. And then I saw her one day in Walmart.
Terribly bad?
What did you do? Help us.
She said, because that was what was put on the order, was that that I blocked him in, that I ranted and raved and yelled and didn't make any sense, and I scared her. And that's all that's on the protection orders, that I scared her.
But what did you do?
Well, you said I didn't do anything terribly bad, which would imply I did something.
No, I mean, I didn't do anything.
You didn't bring her flowers.
Well, you didn't hit her.
No.
I'm going the other way here, Kirk. I didn't do anything terribly bad implies I did something bad. What's the bad? We're not judging.
No,
we're just getting reality.
In my mind, I didn't do anything bad. I mean, that's what she's saying. I did something terribly bad. I pulled up. I rolled down the passenger window because she was on that side. And I looked at her. I said, wow, there was another guy there is what had happened. I mean, that was why I confronted her. She was at a social event after leaving me for 2 weeks. She was at a social event.
All right, the best way we can help, Kirk, because we really want to help, I'm going to make the assumption that you're right because she's not here. I'll make the assumption you're right, and tell us the question before we go to the break so we can have an answer for you.
How can we help
Give
you?
Us this, a really brief question.
Okay.
Now.
No.
Now.
No. Time is
say,
up.
You say, give a question.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. 5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. All right, we're talking with Kirk, and
we asked Kirk to give us a question, because there's lots of details, and it's a complicated situation. So, Kirk, give us a question to answer.
The question I have, you know, she has filed for divorce, and the attorney I've talked to, and I guess split custody is, it doesn't appear to be a very good option. And my attorney says I could get full custody. Her attorney says she could get full custody, and we have not battled this out yet. The thing is, like I said, with our past, it can get really ugly if we start bringing up details and what's going on. And what's best for the kids, like I said, I would like to work on our problems and reconcile with the wife. That, you know, and if that doesn't happen, everybody that I have talked to, and like I said, you get lots of information from people that don't know exactly what's going on.
Kirk, we need a question.
Okay, the question is, if she gets full custody, she's saying that I will hardly ever see the kids. If mm-hmm. I get full custody, I would give her access to the kids at whatever time she wanted. Now, is it worth... I mean, I've tried to do the right thing this last month and a half, but is it worth digging up ugly stuff to get full custody, or do I just let her have the kids and not see them?
Well, that doesn't sound like the two choices the court would give you. I mean, that sounds like her anger at you. And
yeah.
you do have some, I mean, the past gives you some clout and just say, you know, let's just go for a regular settlement where we both get to be with the kids, you know, joint mm-hmm. custody. And, yeah. and because that's going to be the best for the kids. It's not good for them to be cut off from you, especially if, you know, a 10-year-old, are they boys or girls?
Well, the 10-year-old is a boy and the 15-year-old is a girl.
Why do they say that it won't be joint? Because at that age, it's generally joint.
They said that her attorneys, and we've got a lot of mixed information from the attorneys, but her attorney says that she will not even consider that, that she wants full custody.
Well, people want lots of stuff, but at the age of the kids, if you're a good dad...
Well, yeah. In California, your 15-year-old could decide where he wants to live, you know, but I don't know what it is in Nebraska. But that sounds like it's, you know, I would try not to fight over the kids, because that's the worst thing that can happen to the kids, because they become the tool and for the battle. And so,
But your question is really, do I not fight over the kids because that breaks them up, breaks their hearts, but in so doing, do I lose ever seeing the kids?
That's a bad choice.
Yeah.
You can't go there.
That should be obvious. The
and
answer.
You've got to fight to see your kids. Put it that way.
But he's saying the only weapon I have to fight the kids is bringing up the dirt.
Well, and you can certainly tell your wife you're willing to do that if she tries to keep the kids away from you.
Okay. See, that's what in Nebraska there
the
is
question.
No court ordered joint custody. What it is, if we go in together and say we want joint custody, then it's up to us to decide how that is done. And she is saying that she won't even consider discussing it. Joint custody.
Here's what in California, you know, you get one parent gets physical custody and you get joint legal custody, but there's always visitation that's mm-hmm. a part of that. You don't keep the kids away from the parent, and so, you know, I don't know what that means in Nebraska, but you need to get your attorney to clarify it. And just say, I do not want to be kept from my kids, and I will fight to be with my kids. I'm not going to use my kids to fight you, but I will fight to be able to have my kids in my life. And that's what I would tell her.
I think, Kirk, well, you're strategically, you're trying to think, well, all I've really got is dirt on her. And that's not what, as I understand the process, not being an attorney, that's not what happens. It's more like, instead of proving that she's incompetent, prove yourself a good dad.
Well, and that's what my approach was. And like I said, I will admit that both of the attorneys we have are ones that like to play dirty. I mean, she was one that got her attorney first, so I countered with somebody that I thought could play hardball like the one she had. And after I did that,
I hope you got a lot of money, because they're the only ones who win in that kind of situation.
Yeah, the point is, the point is, like the Bible says, don't return evil for evil, but return good for evil. So your number one thing, Kirk, is that you must be an involved father with the 10 and 15-year-olds. Now, having said that, tell your attorney, don't do anything, you know, malicious, but be aggressive in that I'm a good dad. Don't make her a bad mom, make me a good, unless she really is a bad mom, and then the kids need protection from her. If she's truly a bad mom...
No, so that's the deal. She's not a bad mom, but with things that we've done behind closed doors, that both of us could—I mean, both of us can make the other one look terrible.
Yeah, that's
not good for your kids. No. So if you're thinking of your kids, just somehow somebody's got a reason with her that says, "You don't keep the kids from me, or I'll fight because I want to be with my kids. I'm not going to use my kids against you, but you know I don't have to because I
situation, Kirk.
Okay, now so. Here we are, kind of a theme program.
Yeah, it really is.
And two calls in a row where divorce and children are being hurt, most likely, or they're going to be hurt. Mm-hmm. It's just a bad idea to go down that path. It's a bad idea to go from we love each other, we're connected to each other, to let me just let this thing drift. And then you end up in a divorce. You've got to do something, people, before you get to this point. It's just horrible.
Well, and can I modify that a bit,
sure.
Steve? You got to do something, men, before it gets to this point. Don't make the divorce filing a wake-up call. Wake up now. Yeah.
And then if you get the wake-up call, don't roll over and play dead and let your kids live with someone without their dad.
Mm-hmm.
At least fight for them. The kids need to know, Dad fought for me.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, they know that I fought for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time, and before John shares scripture with us here, I'm speaking this Friday in Atlanta at the Women of Faith Conference, the Friday all-day piece, and I would love for you to come and join me there, please. And if you mention New Life when you buy a ticket, they'll give you a major discount there. So use the name New Life. We have that Every Man's Battle workshop coming up here next, also on Friday. That's in Sacramento. And the following month, it'll be in Cincinnati. If you're struggling with sexual integrity or living with someone who does, call us. And, of course, it's August. We need your support. And if you'll support us, we'll send you this book, Walking Into Walls. And I think maybe the best chapter in here is the chapter that addresses, is it a wall or is it a boundary? You know, John and Henry wrote this wonderful book on boundaries. A lot of people abuse that, and they create this wall. And this clarifies whether you're making a wall that keeps you locked into the past or you're creating a boundary that could actually help you move toward a new future. So that's our gift to you. You can also order it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or at newlife.com. 1-800-639-5433 is 1-800-NEW-LIFE numerically. John, would you share some scripture for us as we close out the program?
Well, it's a tough show in terms of important issues, but they need to be brought up, and it was important that we talk to people about this because this is reality. But I thought about 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Steve, where the Bible teaches we don't treat everybody the same way. Not everybody gets, you know, comfort or grace or admonishment. It's different with different people. And the passage says this, "Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy." So lazy people get warnings. "Encourage those who are timid." Timid people get encouragement. "Take tender care of those who are weak." So when somebody's weak, we've got to bind them up. "And be patient with everyone. Know the person and their situation and their heart, and let that determine how you address them."
Yeah. All right. Thank you, John. Hey, if you want to see a great video about the person that Soul Surfer's based on, go to newlife.com. We've got it up there. Boy, she's a neat gal. That's at newlife.com, Soul Surfer Video. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, John. Thanks to all of you. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us for another program after this.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.